You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
A rotten experience awaits them when they come out. The water is bitter. They're looking for God to take his finger and stir the water. God said, throw a tree in it. Why? It's a spearmint tree. In other words, whenever you come to a negative situation in your life, just look around and see what I've already provided, because I'm the God who knew you were going to be there before you get there. And if you stop panicking and look at your surroundings, and maybe it's a person, maybe it's a crazy Christian who's been trying to praise God with you, but the enemy tells you there's something wrong with them. Yes, there's something wrong with them. They're at a height of reception from God, and you need to be able to let them receive so that you can get some of it. Some of you are familiar with people who have cable in their house, but it's your cable. And you go outside and you see another wire coming from your box. They tapped into your cable. You didn't even know it, because your reception is not hindered. It's still just as strong as it was, but somebody has managed to tap into your cable. Well, God is saying sometimes for us, in order to make it, we got to tap into somebody else's faith. This is why the Bible talks about one another, and the devil wants you to stay on your own and be by yourself, but you need to find somebody who has a strong enough signal that you can tap into it so that their view of God will embrace yours. Look at somebody, tell them, I need you. They go over and they look at the land. They have specific directions from Moses. Look at the land. Look at the topography of the land. Look at all this according to the word of God. It says that that's what they were told. And they go over and they look at the land. Personally, I think Moses wanted them to do it himself, because like Abraham, he was being charged with a great task, and he just wanted to make sure that it was God. He said, when you guys get over there, just make sure it's this way. They come back and they say, yep, they bring fruit. The land is exactly what you said, but you left out a piece. You left out a piece. You left out an important piece. There are giants over there. Giants so large that when they walk, the earth shakes. We saw the Anakins there. We saw the Canaanites, the Hittites. When we saw the Hittites, they looked like the Bloods and the Crips combined. He said, look, I'm not going over there with them Hittites. We worship Yahweh. Those folk are crazy. All they do is kill. And even history tells us that the Hittites were the first nation to learn how to extract ore out of the ground and make weapons. They were the original OGs. And they looked fierce. They had beards that were not trimmed. The look of a Hittite made you want to go back home screaming for mama. Now here's what bondage, prolonged bondage, can do. It messes up your perception. Because they came back, watch this, watch the conflict. They have 400 years of bondage with a hard taskmaster and a few miracle experiences from a God who can do anything. And yet when confronted by the enemy, they determined that we can't do it. Why? Because they had been in that place so long that their mind didn't catch up with their body. Their body was free, but their mind was still in bondage. Had they had the right mind, they could have said, yeah, there's some other people up there, but ain't nothing to it but to do it. Because if the God we serve can open up a Red Sea, if the God we serve can destroy the best, most proficient army in the world, then those people are nothing to us. Do you understand that every problem that God lets you experience is beneath you? And in 99% of the cases, you don't even have to do anything but show up. And when you get there, you are supposed to address it as though you already have the victory. You should be shouting victory before the battle even starts. When you understand the passage, no weapon formed. Woo! Glory to God. But what is a weapon? For the devil, it is not a sword, it is not a spear, it is a plan. And so now let's put another word in. No plan that is formed against me will prosper. That means whatever the devil has decided he was going to do, God has already intercepted it. So for you and I, crazy Christians, we approach this thing with a battle plan of worship. Now, some of you say, hold it, preach. Now, what are you talking about? Well, they came to Jehoshaphat, a young godly king. They said, the children of Mount Seir and the Ammonites, they're all, and the Moabites, they're over there waiting for you. Jehoshaphat went to God. He said something that all of us should practice. He said, now, I heard all about these enemies, and they're waiting for me. He said, now, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Let me hear you say, my eyes are on him. Do you understand the dynamic verse? He's saying, I don't know what to do about my situation, but I'm looking to you. The psalmist said, look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. That means nothing that the devil does is able to defeat you because you are looking in a different direction. I'm not looking to Washington. Listen, I pray for my president, but I ain't looking to him to provide a medical plan for me. God already gave me Isaiah 53. I'm not looking for him to take care of me. God already gave me Psalm 91. I'm not looking for him to provide for my material needs. God already gave me Philippians 4. My God shall supply what I need. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. We have a completely different culture. Do you get what I'm saying? Somebody ought to dance. God told Jehoshaphat, he said, listen, ain't no thing. He said, listen to me, dog. Ain't no thing. He said, I already got this handled. Michael over there with his checklist. Who should I send to take care of this job? Like Tom Hagen asked the Godfather, who should we send to take care of this job? Michael said, who should we send to take care of this job? God said, this ain't even a battle. He said, here's what you do. Send the singers. Michael said, hey, Temps, Top, Smokey, Gladys, you leaving on the midnight train. Come on over here, baby. I need all y'all to get together. Go on down to the plains of Ziz and walk before the army. He told Jehoshaphat, put the choir out front. Do you understand the dynamic of praise? Praise is a weapon. It is a weapon that Satan fears. Let me tell you why. Praise is an RSVP to God. Praise says, God, come sit with me. Do you understand why you win when you praise God? Because you've invited him in, and no jail cell, no need, no hunger, no sickness can restrain God. The text says that when they began to sing, said the Lord set ambushments before the enemy. And they turned on each other. Oh, glory to God. Can you imagine the weapon that was designed to hurt you is now thrown off of you and it goes right back to the demon who sent it? Why? Because I refuse to take it. I'm not going to take it. That's why I'm going to praise God. When I praise God, I become the Teflon Christian. Nothing will stick. Have I any Teflon Christians here this morning where the enemy has tried to throw things on you, but you praise God until it bounced off? Here's how we used to say it as children. I'm the rubber. You're the glue. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. Devil, I'm the rubber. You're the glue. The sickness that you tried to throw on me has bounced off the blood, and now it's on to you. You've been here long enough. They went over and they looked at those nations and came back and told Moses, yeah, we can't do it. Caleb and Joshua, the two OGs, they said, man, look, let's go up when? At once. Why? Because God said, I'm doing something new when? Now. Don't sit around waiting for it. Get up now. Praise him now. Shout now. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. You've been in defeat long enough. You've taken too much stuff from the adversary. You've held on to generational curses long enough. As of this day, I demand that you declare your independence. You need to tell the devil the bondage that you put on me, it ends today. And this is how I'm signing this thing. I'm signing it with praise. Hallelujah. They came back. They told him. They said, look here, man, we can't go in. The Amalekites are there. The Amalekites speaks to your past. And if you cannot get victory over your past, you're never going to go forward. So you've been there long enough. I know you've been abused. I know you've been gone. You've gone through the terrible experiences of a past event. But don't stay there. I'm sorry that it happened to you. But you're here now. Don't let what happened put you in bondage. Get victory over those Amalekites. We are told that they said they saw Hittites. And Hittite means fear. And God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. You understand, God doesn't want you to be afraid of anything. Why? Fear has torment. I took my puppy to daycare one day because I like for him to play with the other dogs. And so I walked him in, and Disney was standing there while we were waiting to be checked in. And this one family, they brought a pit bull in. When they brought the pit bull in, I pulled Disney back a little and, you know, kind of put him behind me. Disney came out from behind me, and the pit bull walked over to him. And my dog got up on his back leg. And he just a little Bichon. And he got up on his back leg, and I said, go to it, brother. He didn't bark. He did not bark. See, because he's like me. You don't warn your enemy. He got up on his back leg. That pit bull walked away. You know all the devil is a barking dog. All you got to do is get up. Don't be afraid. The battle is already fought. The victory is already won. You've been in this fear long enough, scared of cancer. The doctor told you you have stage 4 cancer. Lay hands on yourself and make it stage 1. Don't make plans to die. Make plans for a miracle. See yourself advancing. See yourself winning. If the Bible said all men are liars, then the doctor's a liar. They're not lying intentionally. They're going by a preponderance of the evidence. But I'm going beyond a reasonable doubt. Isaiah 53 said, by his stripes, you are healed. Glory to God. I are healed. Bad English, but it makes a point. How many of you are healed? Now, Peter said, you were healed. How many of you were healed? Right now, God is touching somebody's spine and realigning your disc, and the surgery that you were supposed to have, you won't need it after today. When you get rid of your fear and you walk in trust and faith and you believe that this miracle is yours, God is realigning. Glory to God. He is infusing you with the miraculous. I'm telling you right now, if you give God an act of praise, this mess will not hold on to you. It is time that we get up from where we were and go to a new place. Listen, said they saw Amorites. Amorite means negative speech. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your mind and your soul, they don't know the difference between positive and negative words. Your mind and your soul is ground waiting for seed called words. So when you say negative words, your mind and your soul accept them. So when you say to your child, you worrying me to death, you're going to die. And it's going to be your child's fault. When you say you're getting on my nerves, which really is not a clinical phrase, but we understand it means you're just filling me with anxiety, you're going to have more anxiety. Why? Jesus says in Mark's gospel, you will have what you say. An Amorite means negative speech. And they went back and said these words, we cannot go in. And not a one of them did. Their children did because their children didn't say it. Do you understand that the enemy is after your words? He wants you to recite negative things. He wants you to go around saying what you can't do. Hey, how are you today? Well, anytime somebody starts with well, walk away. Say, I rap with you later, okay? They go, where you going? Listen, when it starts with well, I don't want to hear it. How are you? Victorious. I don't care who it is that asks me. I can be going through the most hellish situation of my existence. I'm going to tell you I'm okay. You are not going to hear anything else come out of these lips. I'm okay. You understand? I'm okay. Why? Because I have learned that I am exactly where God wants me. It might be difficult, but I'm where he wants me. He planned on me being here. I am where he wants me to be. Amorites will fill our mouths. And again, it's cultural because as a people, we Hamites, we love negative speech. You ain't no good, ain't never going to be no good. Nobody in your family was any good. None of the men in your family were good. None of the women were any good. We just love negative speech. And that's what Amorites do. They make you speak negatively. But you got to get past that. You have to move from negative speech. I dare you, I challenge you to start speaking positively. To start saying what God sees. Do you understand that you have the authority to say what God says? And God said in Isaiah 55, if you say what I say, my words will not come back empty. Y'all don't believe me. Maybe 10% of you. Well, that's all right. I'm convinced the other 90. Listen to this. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created. Now remember, Moses is writing this as a narrative. So that means that there are literary benefits to the narrative in the sense that they give it to you from their perspective. So he says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Okay. And then it says, and the earth was in a certain position of calamity. It was void. It was dark. And God did what? Said. Creation begins with a spoken word. If I could ever convince you to see the link between your words and actions, and then your environment, I'll show you something else. The Bible says, and God said, let there be light, or in the Hebrew, light be. Watch. But the sun wasn't created till later. God spoke something. And then created it. And he's trying to get us to do the same thing. You can speak to something. You don't see a change right away. But your words have activated the creative process. You can look at your son right now and say to that son, that's all right, act like an idiot today. But you're going to be preaching the word of God and bringing people to Jesus. That word is gone. And God said it won't come back to me empty. But it's going to hover over that child. Amorites are trying to get your speech. Amorites are trying to keep you speaking negatively. I want Bethel to be a God-speaking church. Stop talking about what the devil is saying. Tell me what God is saying. The spies said, we saw Jebusites. Jebusite means to trample. It speaks of oppression. The colloquialism for us would be, how many people are getting on your nerves? They're Jebusites. Because people that get on your nerves trample your joy. You don't feel like praising God when you have to deal with the same idiots They've stolen your ability, robbed you of the intimacy of connection. Jebusites trample. They bring depression. Now, you can't take Prozac and lithium and Equinil for spiritual depression. The only cure for spiritual depression is the word of God and jubilant praise. Now, understand, you don't have to feel it to do it. Well, I don't feel like praising. You don't feel like going to work either, but you get yourself up and go because you got bills. Well, you better praise him anyway, even if you don't feel like it, because here's what happens. When you praise God, in fact, when the scripture talks about the sacrifice of praise, that doesn't mean praise him when you feel like it. It means that that's your sacrifice. Like the ancient Hebrews had to bring him oxen and animals, you bring him praise. That's your sacrifice. Because he wants you, but he wants your praise. When you understand the dynamic of praise, praise is your PIN number for your Mac machine. When you go to the Mac machine of God with gossip, with anxiety, fear, and negativity, and you push available balance, it comes back zero. God has frozen your account. But when you approach God with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name, and you push available balance, it says unlimited.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Time to Go and to My Blessing, or the program number 07219A. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
Join your Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches family as we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ at BDIFC Holy Convocation 2019, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd and Sunday, August 25th. Each night we'll be blessed with a word from God brought forth by powerful ministers of the gospel. Special guest speakers for our Holy Convocation are Bishop David G. Evans of Bethany Baptist Church on Wednesday, August 21st, Bishop Paul S. Morton of Changing a Generation FGBC on Thursday, August 22nd, and Pastor Paul Shepherd of Destiny Christian Fellowship on Friday, August 23rd. Each service will be held at the Hilton Philadelphia City Ave at 7 p.m. nightly. The address is 4200 City Ave, Philadelphia, PA 19131. Sunday, August 25th will be our official night, in which the presiding bishop of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr., will deliver an impactful message from the Lord. The service begins at 6 p.m. in the main sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Sheldon Avenue, Winco, Pennsylvania, 19095. It's the BDIFC Holy Convocation, Wednesday, August 21st through Friday, August 23rd, and Sunday, August 25th. Come out and join your church family for these empowering nights of praise, healing, and fellowship.